So I want to catch us up a little bit, because it's been a week, but in the scriptures, it's been maybe about 6 hours. So we've come from Mary being at the tomb. The disciple, remember Sunday? I know you do. You remember that John and Peter had that race to the tomb to see who could see, and the tomb was empty, and they left not quite certain what that meant. But Mary had stayed, and Jesus arrived and called her by name and then told her to go and tell the disciples. So Mary's words, this is important to us this morning. Mary's words to the disciples were, "I have seen the Lord." So Mary witnessed to the disciples that she had seen Jesus, and she told them everything that had happened. But it seems they still doubted, and it seems they were still afraid. So there they were in that locked room, doubting and afraid. And Jesus comes into them, comes into their presence, and tells them, "Peace be with you." And did you catch it? He calls the Holy Spirit upon them. He sends the Holy Spirit there in that space. And then he tells them, "I am sending you as the Father sent me. I'm sending you to go out into the world to forgive sins, because if you forgive them, they are forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained." And then they believe. So Thomas arrives. Now, have you ever wondered why Thomas wasn't there? I've always sort of wondered why Thomas wasn't there. Was he out getting food for them? You know, is he down to Domino's or something? But Thomas, I don't know. He wasn't there in that room. Did he disperse and go home and then go, "Oh, maybe I need to get back to the disciples and see what's going on"? We don't know why he wasn't there. But he arrives, and they say the same thing to Thomas that Mary said to them, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas, like the other disciples, doesn't believe. He doubts, because he wants that physical evidence. Now, I don't know if I'd want to put my hand in the side of Jesus or my finger through the... just the whole thought of that is kind of creepy, but that's what he wants. He wants to be able to touch Jesus to believe. And then time passes. Time passes, and they have more opportunity to witness to Thomas about what they had experienced. But it seems that what Thomas needs, God provides. And then again, in that locked door, locked room, Jesus appears before Thomas, offers his hands and offers his side. We don't know if he did that gory stuff, but we do know what he does. He recognizes Jesus as my Lord and my God. And then the scriptures go on to tell us that Jesus says this. "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Well, that's sort of where we are, aren't we? We're not going to have Christ come into our midst today and expose his body to us so that we can touch his wounds. But we are called, as followers of Jesus, to witness to that he is the risen Lord. We're called to witness to his story of redemption, his story of reconciliation, his story of hope that he had come to save the world. That is what we are called to do. We are called to say to one another and to others, "We have seen the Lord." But there, in the midst of his disciples who walked and talked with him, who heard out of his lips what he was going to do, that he was going to die in 3 days, rise again, they couldn't believe without him present. So that makes it almost kind of difficult for us to think about witnessing, doesn't it? If his disciples couldn't believe, how is the unbeliever in the 21st century going to understand the story we're going to tell them? How are they going to move from doubt to believing without Jesus showing up bloody. I think the scripture tells us something different, though. The scripture tells us that we're to witness. Because pay attention to what happened. At the tomb, when the disciples left, and Mary was left there, trying to figure out what to do, what was real, what wasn't, Christ came. What Mary needed was to know he was alive. And God in Jesus Christ provided that. And she could believe. But then she was tasked to witness. So she witnessed. She did what she was called to do by God. She witnessed. That's what we are called to do. But the people she witnessed to still doubted, still were afraid. So what changed their lives was the presence, the real presence of Christ. The same thing happens with Thomas. They witnessed, that's what they were called to do, but Thomas still needed Jesus to make it happen. We are called simply to witness. Think about this. Think about that time when Christ came into your life. Was he physically there? Were his wounds exposed to you? How did you know that what was happening in your life was direct relationship to God's love for you? That this story, this witness, became real in your heart and real in your life? Christ became real to you. It wasn't the witness of other people that made that happen. It was the power of the Holy Spirit and God through Jesus Christ coming into your life that made that happen. So we, as followers of Jesus Christ, our calling is to go where God sends us, to witness to the truth of the gospel message of hope and salvation, to witness to the truth that God has come so that the world might be saved, to share the gospel message however God calls us to share it, to invite people into times of study, to invite people into worship, to share Christ's table with them. That is what we are called to do. But the work of transformation is not ours, it is God's. And that's what this story tells us. It's not that Thomas doubted. It's not that the disciples doubted. Doubt is a real part of our faith. No matter where we are in our journey, there are times when we kind of go, Lord, are you really real? Is this really what you want for my life? I'm wondering, God, are you ever going to transform the world? Is the world ever going to know your peace? We can doubt. Because God will still come in the midst of our doubts and say, yes, I am real. The work of transforming the world is God's. Our work is witnessing to how God has transformed our lives. Our work is witnessing to the salvation of Jesus Christ through us and through God's church. You know, I love to talk about Wes, because I do. But when I think about Wes's calling, Wes was called when he was 14 and he didn't know it, but his mother did. But he did know one thing. That day, in that experience he had at Vida Nueva, he came and he sat beside me when he accepted Christ as his Savior, and he said, I'm home. He knew he was home. He knew that the body of Christ was where he belonged. And he did some work in terms of working in retreats with me, and we did a great deal of work until he went off to college and thought he wanted to be a lifeguard. But when God called him on that lifeguard stand, it's the first time my son ever did anything on his own. No, that's not true. He did some things on his own. But I didn't have to do the groundwork. He did it himself because God called him and he was obedient. Now, being his mother, I knew where he should go. Isn't that what parents do? Well, you need to be a chaplain. You could handle being a chaplain. You know, being a pastor of a church might not be your calling. So he graduates from college, he graduates from seminary, and what does God do? God says, no, go to South Carolina, where you know absolutely no one. Go to South Carolina Conference, where no one knows you, and serve a 2-point charge in a rural community. And he goes. He doesn't say, excuse me, God, my mother says I'm supposed to be a chaplain. He didn't. He just simply went. And yesterday we got this amazing phone call from him about some work in the midst of his community that confirmed for me he's where God has called him to be. No matter what struggles they're having as a 2-point charge, and no matter what struggles he's having learning this amazing, humbling calling that he's learning, it was confirmed. But we're not all called to be in pulpits. We're not all called to sit in the choir, but, you know, the choir would really like you to feel that calling upon your hearts right now. So, you know, we could have an altar call for the choir. But we are called to witness. Everyone is called to witness to the magnificent grace that transformed our lives. Every one of us is called to witness, no matter what it looks like. Whether it's serving in a soup kitchen, whether it's volunteering at a school, whether it's writing notes and cards, whether it's making phone calls, whether it's visiting, whether it's building wooden crosses, whether it's participating in the nursery, no matter where God calls you, whether it's simply sitting in your office at work and sharing why you are content with being the child of God that you are, we're called to witness. It doesn't matter if we're doubting. It doesn't matter if the people we're witnessing to are doubting, because it's God who moves them from doubt to belief. If we are faithful to our calling, God will be faithful to God's calling. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.